This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us on the morning run. Now, the KLCI is at 1,597 points, vacillating between the gains and declines. The ringgit to the dollar is at 4.36, and the digital bank applicants, including Whitehill Corp, 62 cents. We also see Capital A at 71.5 cents and Aeon Credit at 16.20. All three of them are up on hopefully expectations that they might win one of the licenses. Now, let's...
Well, talking about something that's up, and the thing that is up is actually the Singapore Straits Times. I think it's up almost 7% on a year-to-date basis. But like all markets, they've actually been witnessing a troubled week, no thanks to China's prolonged lockdowns and continued geopolitical concerns. But as the country has been taking the lead on loosening COVID-19 restrictions, the broader economy should be seeing clearer skies ahead. But which sectors stand to benefit? And how vulnerable is the island city-state stock market to the economy in China? Can this country maintain its lead as one of the best performing markets in the world?
To answer that question, we now turn to Adrian Low, Head of Research at UOB Kay Hian. Adrian, thank you for talking to us. Now, STI is one of the best performing major markets on a year-to-date basis, but does this actually make it more vulnerable to money being taken off the table as investors take on an increased risk-off approach?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. We don't think so. We still believe that there is upside to the STI, given that we have a 3,500 target for the year end for the index. So that implies about a 4% upside from here. It's an inexpensive index, trading at about 13 times forward earnings for this year versus historical average of over 15 times. And the yield is more than 4.5%, which is the highest in the region. In addition, we forecast around 16% year-on-year earnings growth for this year and 17% for next year. So that should underpin confidence in our index. And the market is frequently seen as a value and defensive one. So, you know, we think that as investors shy away from growth markets and seek more value and defensive ones, we should outperform.
So how sensitive are the Singapore economy and corporates to the lockdowns and subsequent slowdown as we are seeing in China?
Good question. I mean, in our universe of around 90 stocks that we cover here in Singapore, only 8 or so have more than 70% of their revenue derived from China. Nevertheless, we are cognizant that any prolonged COVID-19 related lockdowns and subsequent slowdowns in the Chinese economy will have a wide-ranging effect on Asia. And so we're watching out for any signs of this in our company's first Q results, which is ongoing at present.
And the Singapore dollars has been strengthening on the back of the MAS targeting inflation, which hit a 10-year high. So with that, the cross against the ringgit hit an all-time high as well. So, but which sectors benefit and which actually don't from this?
Singapore companies that have strong international exposure to foreign transactions might see their revenues or profits being impacted by MAS's monetary policy, since a stronger Sing dollar would mean that companies with higher foreign exposure would see a decline in overseas profits in Sing dollar terms. So companies that have all of its earnings in Singapore would benefit relative to those that have a higher foreign currency earnings. So beneficiaries could be companies like supermarket player Sheng Siong or domestic REITs, or SingPost, for example, while those that have a lot more foreign earnings like Singtel or Wilma may not.
Now, Adrian, of course, Singapore had a head start in terms of easing international borders. How does that translate into the performance of aviation, firstly, and I think into the broader economy?
Yeah, I think the aviation sector has seen share price increases across the board, just from a sentiment basis. Obviously, Singapore has joined a number of its neighboring countries in lifting most of its restrictions on international travel. So that relaxation is obviously a big positive development for Singapore aviation, and we expect it to help Singapore move closer towards its goal to restore passenger volume, especially at Changi Airport, to at least 50% of the pre-COVID-19 levels in 2022.
Adrian, what are the other recovery stocks that you think could actually see outperformance this year then?
Yeah, we believe that out of the three aviation stocks, SIA Engineering and SATS will be the biggest beneficiaries relative to SIA, given that SIA Engineering and SATS both benefit from the overall volume of flights rather than being dependent on each and every seat being sold like SIA. So SIA Engineering's maintenance services, for example, contribute to 50% of its revenues pre-COVID, and SATS ground handling services. Both of these should recover faster as 2022 progresses.
And Adrian, your top picks in the overall STI and maybe why?
So the five companies that we like, we like more than this, but I guess our top five, which are quite defensive in nature, provide a good yield and have potential earnings upside as well. These are Capitaland Investments, Sembcorp Industries, Venture, Singtel, and OCBC.
Just OCBC, just one bank. What is your outlook for the banking sector, actually, with the interest rate hikes in the US?
Yeah, for out of the three banks, we can't cover UOB because they're a related party. Yeah, but out of OCBC and DBS, we prefer OCBC just because of valuations. DBS is quite highly valued, you know, 1.3, 1.4 times price to book versus OCBC at about 1 times. And in fact, both companies, both banks just reported results this morning, and OCBC did exceed expectations relative to DBS. But OCBC's got earnings growth and dividend upside too.
Okay, Adrian, thank you so much for your time. That was Adrian Low, Head of Research at UOB Kay Hian, talking about the possibility of the STI extending its 7.6% year-to-date advance.
Yeah, it's got that nice balance of growth plus some yield, especially as markets get into this risk-off mode. It's actually seen as a defensive market, so I think that explains the outperformance.
Well, talking about markets, we now see some market earnings from Bursa Malaysia, which of course is the operator and manager of the local stock exchange. First quarter, not so great.
Yeah, so Bursa Malaysia Berhad registered a 44% year-on-year decline in net profit to 68 million ringgit in the first quarter of 2022 as securities trading revenue continues to normalize. Overall revenue for the quarter was down by 29% from a year ago, with trading revenue down by 46.7% to 80.4 million ringgit. And meanwhile, trading velocity also dropped 34 percentage points on year to 36%.
So because of the recent share price hike, right, the valuations are no longer the cheapest. I think a lot of investors look at this stock in terms of the yield also provided because it's in a net cash position. So I think if you look at indications, it's still going to probably pay north of 4% yield. But I think the key downside risk to this stock is the softer corporate earnings due to the proposal of the imposing of the one-off windfall tax under Budget 2022 and the inability to sustain foreign inflows due to the intense competition from the other regional markets.
Yeah.
And I think also if retail investors take money off the table, they're not so good for trading volumes.
Oh, see. Because right now, Bursa Malaysia is trading at 6 ringgit and 89 cents, down 6 cents. Indicated forward gross yield of 6%, actually just shy of 6%. But valuations going forward also quite expensive at 22 times earnings.
Not the cheapest. It is a quality stock. Very quickly, Maxis also released results, right? They registered 11% decline in net profit to close to 300 million ringgit, mainly as a result of spectrum rights amortization. So I think, going forward, there are, of course, uncertainties over the government's decision to continue with the 5G single wholesale network under DNB and also the unveiling of the My Digital initiatives. I think telco sector always under pressure in terms of maintaining its average revenue per user.
Yeah, that uncertainty being played out where the analysts are concerned, there are 16 holds, just 3 buys, but also 4 sales. So right now, Maxis at 382, just up 1 cent on reasonably thin volume. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.